Microphone. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I was so blessed this morning to hear the report from our missionaries from South America, from Peru and Brazil. What a blessing. I was privileged to be, Dr. Contreras, on your campus maybe 2 years ago, and to see the great work that God is doing there. And one thing that I was impressed as I drove into the main entrance, there was the Revived by His Word with the chapter of Scripture that we're reading each day around the world. Thank you for your leadership there in that great country. Well, I was sitting here wondering if they were just going to have the benediction and go to lunch. But I think Mountain View Conference is on mountain time. It's a different time zone. But you'll have to tell me, Pastor, how many minutes I have. I'm used to working with television, and there we have counter clocks, and so I almost had a cardiac arrest there on row two. But what time do you want me to be finished?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, okay. It's 12:05, 12:35. No. You know, I just have a disclaimer. I brought this, and I don't want an offering. Okay, we've had a lot of offerings this morning, right? I've actually got a gift in here for you. This is some things about the Hope Channel. We have 43 affiliates around the world. We're launching Hope Channel Fiji right now. The new president of Fiji is a Seventh-day Adventist. God is opening doors with our government there, and so God is doing amazing things with Hope Channel. But I actually have a gift for you in the envelope that looks like this. You can get a free DVD. I'm going to tell you about that DVD tonight when I share at 7 o'clock. But hold on to that. Put it in your Bible. I'm not asking for any money. I think what you're doing with the university there in Peru and what you're doing with My Pathway to Health, it's wonderful. Would you pray for the Hope Channel? I've been a volunteer for 9 years, and 8 weeks ago they asked me to become the president of Hope Channel. I have no idea why, except that God knows that He wants to do a great miracle in our midst. So, and that's what I want to share with you in the 30 minutes I have this morning. And it was a young former Muslim that taught me a life-changing lesson about prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much for this inspiring camp meeting. Thank you that your presence and your spirit, your angels, are welcome in this place. And I pray now as we hear a word from Jesus, that your spirit would energize our minds to hear a life-changing word from you, and we will give you praise forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. It was 3 years ago I was attending a conference in Bloemfontein, South Africa. Yes, Andre. Walking down the hallway, and a young woman, I found out later, 31 years of age, from the country of India, was walking towards me, and her face was shining. She startled me. I wanted to meet her and ask her, what was it? Because the Bible text that came to my mind was from Acts chapter 6 and verse 15. Some of you may remember this story. It says they looked at the face of Stephen the deacon. Do you remember? And his face was what? Shining like the face of an angel. She's walking toward me, and I wanted to ask her, why is your face shining? But it seemed a little rude. So I just walked up to her. I said, hello, my name's Derek. She said, my name is Yasmin. I said, well, tell me about yourself, Yasmin. She said, well, I'm a professor at an Adventist university in Zambia. By the way, we have more than 1 million Seventh-day Adventists in Zambia today. That's almost as many as the entire North American division. She said, I'm a professor there. I thought, praise God to have professors whose faces are shining with the holy light. Amen? But I said, well, tell me about yourself. She said, well, I grew up in an Orthodox Muslim family in Kolkata, India. And I thought, I need to hear her testimony because there's a connection between her testimony and her face shining with the holy light. Well, the testimony that she shared with me startled me. And I realized that I really didn't know what it meant to pray in the name of Jesus. You see, I had grown up in a Christian home. My parents became Seventh-day Adventists right about the time I was born. So we grew up and we just prayed like this. I don't know if they do this in Spanish too, but at the end of the prayer, we just go, in Jesus' name, amen. What do you say in Spanish? Nombre Jesus? But we didn't think about it. You know, I did not understand what an amazing privilege and blessing it was to pray in the name of Jesus. I just, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the food in Jesus' name. Help me to have a nice day in Jesus' name. I did not understand. But when I heard this young lady's testimony, it startled me. You see, she grew up praying Arabic prayers. She was told you don't even need to understand what you're saying. But she prayed them 5 times a day. But God was going to change her life. Now, I'm going to share the whole testimony with you. I'm going to give you a resource tonight if you'd like to hear her whole story, because it truly is remarkable. But let me just tell you that she came to the place where someone gave her a Bible. And she opened the Bible and she read these words. Let me put them on the screen. From John chapter 14, she read these words. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Yasmin had grown up as an Orthodox Muslim, believing that Jesus was a prophet. He was a holy man, but he was not the last and the greatest prophet. That's Muhammad. And Jesus was certainly not the Son of God, the way she had been taught. But she read in Scripture the word of Jesus, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so Yasmin decided that she would pray a prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, some of you are going to say to me, well, what was her prayer? Well, this is it. Now, I'm looking around to see some sandals here. Juliet, you have a pair of sandals, and I don't know if I should come and take it from you or if you'd like to come up and give one to me, but would you do that? Would you come over here? Thank you. So I promise to give it back to you. Do you notice these are the kind of sandals that Yasmin would wear? They were made of leather, and there's a little piece here that you hold onto the shoe, and Yasmin's sandals would always break. This little strap would break. And once that breaks, what happens? Well, you can't hold on to the shoe anymore. Well, her sandals would always break. So she said, I'm going to pray my very first prayer in the name of Jesus. Here it is. Lord, help my sandals not to break. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You say, that's not a prayer. We should be praying for the missionaries, or we should be praying for some special work. But listen, this young lady, is she playing a game with God? Or is she saying, Jesus, are you who you claim to be? that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Are you really the Messiah, the sent of God, and not just another prophet? She prayed, Lord, help my sandals not to break. 16 years old, young Muslim girl, in the name of Jesus. She's sharing her testimony with me, and she begins to weep. This is 3 years ago this summer that she shares her testimony. She says, my sandals have not broken for the past 15 years. You say, well, hallelujah, I never need to buy shoes anymore. No, don't play games with God. Get your shoes repaired. But I tell you this, Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you search for me, how? With all your heart. Well, of course, she didn't know right away that her sandals wouldn't break, did she? She didn't know it would be 15 years. But the days went by, the weeks went by. She said, I'm going to pray another prayer. She was a very good student, and she had a biology class the next day. She said, here's my second prayer. Lord, help the teacher to ask a question tomorrow that no one can answer. And then have the teacher ask me if I know the answer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, she was studying about meiosis and mitosis. Anyone know meiosis and mitosis? You can explain that to me afterwards. Thank you. She was studying about that, and the next day the teacher came, and he asked a question, and no one could answer it. And then the teacher, do you remember when you were in school, do you remember the student in your class when the teacher asked the question who went, oh, 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 you remember, huh? Oh, oh, oh. Not Yasmin, she sat very quietly, and the teacher walked right up to her and said to her, do you know the answer to the question? And she said, yes, sir, and gave him a complete answer to the question. Well, the teacher was very impressed. He said, Yasmin, you're a good student. But what do you think Yasmin was thinking? Do you think she was thinking, I'm a good student? No. What was she thinking? The name of Jesus. Because Jesus had said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Not just to impress people, but that the Father may be what? Glorified in that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Well, I tell you, when I heard her testimony, I went back to my Bible. I said, I don't think I really understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. So I went back to my Bible and I began to study. And I discovered what it does not mean. Acts chapter 19 tells the story of some sons of Sceva who try to cast out a demon. You know the story? Acts chapter 19, apparently some others had been casting out demons in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And these seven sons of Sceva tried to do the same thing. Now listen to me very carefully. They did not have a connection with Jesus. They didn't know Jesus personally, but they thought they could use the name of Jesus like a magic power. So they come up to this demon-possessed man and they say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out of that man. Scripture records in verse 15 of Acts 19, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Whatever it means to pray in the name of Jesus, it does not mean that we use the name of Jesus like a magic power with no connection to Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Well, there's something else I discovered from my study. Book of James, chapter 4. To pray in the name of Jesus does not mean that we can pray any selfish prayer and just because we say in the name of Jesus, it will be answered. James 4 and verse 3 says, you ask and what? You do not receive. Why? because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Some people think, oh, you know, you want to be wealthy, just pray in Jesus' name, right? God, I need to buy a car. There's an old lady down the road. She has a beautiful car. She doesn't know how much it's worth. Help me to be able to buy it for much less than it's worth, in Jesus' name. Really? Oh, I have an old car I need to sell too. It's falling apart, but there's a gullible person down the road. Help me to sell my car for much more than it's worth, in Jesus' name. Really? Does to pray in Jesus' name mean we get all of our selfish desires fulfilled just because we put his name at the end of the prayer? No, that's not what it means. Well, I knew it was powerful because I'd heard Yasmin's testimony, so I kept studying my Bible. And I'm really excited about what I learned, and I hope you'll remember this from our study today. To pray in the name of Jesus, Matthew chapter 28. To pray in the name of Jesus, listen to me now, means to stand under his authority. Did you hear what I said? To pray in the name of Jesus means to stand under his what? Authority. Listen to the word of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much authority? Where? In heaven and what's the next word? Therefore go, right? Well, it depends on your translation. Mine says go. How do we go? Do we go in our authority? How do we go? We go standing under the authority of Jesus. How do we pray? Do we pray in our authority? No, we pray standing under the authority of Jesus. That's the only way you can explain what happens when Peter and John are going to the temple. There's a crippled man begging. And Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. He's standing under the what? Authority of Jesus. Demons tremble when we stand under the authority of Jesus. Strongholds are broken when we stand under the authority of Jesus. When we pray in Jesus' name, we stand under his authority. But there's something else. I think some early Christians didn't understand fully what it meant to pray in the name of Jesus. What do you mean, Jesus? You can ask anything in my name. And so the same Apostle John who recorded the word of Jesus, which we just read in John 14, records this word in 1 John, right before the book of Revelation. Hope you're looking in your Bible. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Firstly, it means we stand under his what? Authority. But it means something else. Verse 14 of 1 John 5. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what does it say in your Bible? If we ask anything, what? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. You see, I learned from a study of the Bible that to pray in Jesus' name isn't just something that Christians do. Oh, dear God, help me to have a nice day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No. To pray in Jesus' name is a great privilege. Amen? Amen. It's a wonderful blessing because we are standing under his what? And we are surrendered to his. That's right. Not my will, Father, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are standing under his authority, surrendered to his will. If you remember one sentence today, remember this one. I'm going to leave it up on the screen as I share the rest of Yasmin's story in the minutes remaining. When we pray how? In Jesus' name, standing under his what? Authority and surrendered to his what? Miracles happen. Did you hear me? When we pray in Jesus' name, standing under his authority, surrendered to his will, miracles happen. You know, Stanley, I can't pray the same anymore. I really can't. When I say, in the name of Jesus, it's different now. In Jesus' name. Well, Yasmin, she prayed and God heard her prayer. She said eventually she wanted to be baptized. So she came to one of the elders. Anyone an elder here? Do I have any elder, church elders here? So Christy's dad, Dr. Shank, good to see you, came to one of the elders and said, I'd like to be baptized because I believe that Jesus is not just another prophet, you know, but he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Savior of the world. And the elder said, Oh, no, you cannot be baptized. Why, you're a Muslim girl. Why, that could cause a lot of trouble. This is in Kolkata, India. How do you think she felt? Crushed. Well, I'm so glad the story didn't end there. She went to her pastor. Any pastors here? Yes. She went to her pastor, Andre. She said, Pastor, I want to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. And the pastor, his name is Pastor Victor Sam. He is now a vice president of the Southern Asia Division, a powerful man of God. He said to her, Yasmin, you pray for 1 week, and I will pray for 1 week. Amen? Thank God for praying leaders. And if after 1 week you're perfectly convinced that you should be baptized, I will baptize you. Even with opposition from some people in the church, it could cause trouble. But I tell you, once you've decided to follow Jesus, there is no turning back, is there? No turning back. Well, a week went by, the pastor came, she came. Are you still certain, Yasmin? Yes, Pastor, I want to be baptized. And so she wanted to invite her parents, her Orthodox Muslim parents, but she knew it was not the right time. But she was baptized in the name of Jesus as a follower of Jesus. And then her parents, her father, found out. Would someone like to guess what happened when her father found out that she had become a follower of Jesus? Why, he was angry. He went into her room. He took some clothes and threw them into a little suitcase, a little red suitcase. He pushed that bag into her hand and said, there is no place for an infidel in my house. Her mother tried to intervene. What's going to happen to her? The father said, my mind is made up. No place for an infidel, an unbeliever in my house. And so Yasmin took the suitcase and she stepped out of the door of her house and the door closed behind her. She's now almost 18 years old. What would you suggest that she do now? Pray. Dear Jesus, help me to have a nice day. No. My now is a time to stand under the authority of Jesus, surrendered to his will, because we need a miracle now, don't we? She's standing on the outside of her house and she prayed, Lord, where shall I go? In the name of Jesus, amen. And instantly a thought flashed into her mind. Would you like to guess where she was supposed to go? To the church. Go to the church. So she went to the church. Now what she shared with me next, it shouldn't have startled me because I know the stories in the Bible, like with Saul on the Damascus Road, and then the Lord appears in a vision to Ananias. You remember that? And says, the same Jesus that appeared to you appeared to me. Remember that miraculous story in Acts 9? It shouldn't have surprised me, but Yasmin said, I took my little case and I went to the church, and the pastor, Bruce, was waiting for me. What? The pastor was waiting for me. In one hand, he had an envelope with a check for 40,000 rupees. That was the amount for Yasmin to study at Spicer Memorial College, now Spicer Adventist University. But there was a problem. You see, she lived in Kolkata on the east side of India, and Spicer was 36 hours away on the train in western India, in this near the city of Pune. The check in one hand, train ticket in the other hand. How did he know? Is our God an awesome God? What a privilege to pray in the name of Jesus, standing under his authority, surrendered to his will. Yasmin's crying as she's sharing her testimony with me 3 years ago in Bloemfontein. She said, "My God is so good." Is he good today? He's so good. She's crying. She said, "You have to understand, Derek, that a young girl in India doesn't travel 36 hours by train by herself. Why, she could be kidnapped, she could be killed, she could be sold into slavery. I mean, you just don't travel all the way across India on a train by yourself." But this young girl, 18 years almost of age, took her little suitcase, she got on the train, and she was not afraid. Do you know why she was not afraid? Because she had prayed. How had she prayed? In the name of Jesus, standing under his authority and surrendered to his. She traveled all the way across India. She arrived at the Pune train station 36 hours later at 3 o'clock in the morning. Have you ever been to a train or bus station at 3 o'clock in the morning? I mean, there are strange people there. You know, sleeping and just hanging around, and you know. She gets off of the train with her little suitcase. Everybody's running to their destination. She has no idea where Spicer Memorial College is, so she's just standing there. What would you recommend she do now? And how should she pray? In Jesus' name, standing under his what? Yeah, that's right. We don't just pray it because that's what Christians do. No, because when we stand under his authority, surrender to his will, miracles happen. She's praying on the platform, and a tall, slender man walked up to her. Now, there are in India more than 100 languages. Her language from Kolkata is called Bengali. This tall, slender man on the other side of India walks up to her and speaks to her in her mother tongue. "Where are you going, my child?" "I don't think you heard me. There's more than how many languages in India?" And she's from over in Kolkata. She's now in Pune. And a man walks up to her and speaks to her in her mother tongue. "Where are you going, my child?" 10 of you said amen. She said, someone said hallelujah. That's my favorite Hebrew word. She said, "I am going to Spicer Memorial College." He said, "I will take you." Now, I don't know, has anyone been to India? You know what a rickshaw is, don't you? Well, an auto rickshaw, instead of a bicycle, originally it was a person, but now they have a little scooter, right? And there's like a two-seater bench on the back. It's called an auto rickshaw. And she walks out of the station now, you know, 3:15 in the morning. And the man puts the case up on the bench and invites her to sit on the auto rickshaw. He gets onto the scooter, starts driving out into the darkness. She has no idea where she's going, but she's standing under the authority of Jesus, surrendered to his will. That tall, slender man drove her 15 kilometers to the campus of Spicer Memorial College. She said, "If he dropped me off at the front gate, I would have had no idea where to go. He drove me right to the front door of the girls' dormitory. Here you are, my child." She studied there for the next 7 years, won all kinds of academic honors, graduated with an undergraduate degree, and then with a master's degree. During those years, many times, she went back to that train station to look for that tall, slender man. And he was never there. He was only there that night. at 3 o'clock in the morning because a young lady prayed in the name of Jesus. Now, you know what I wanted to ask her? I wanted to ask her, Yasmin, you think that tall, slender man was an angel? And then I realized that it didn't matter whether it was a heavenly messenger sent from the courts above, or like Ananias in the story of Saul, a godly messenger from Pune, who somewhere before 3 o'clock in the morning, a message came to him saying, get up and go to the train station. He said, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I know, but my daughter just prayed in Jesus' name. I don't know that it really, it's a miracle either way, isn't it? Though I did see her at General Conference session. She was a delegate for the Zambian Union. This former Muslim, right? Delegate. I said, Yasmin, I've always wanted to ask you about the tall, slender man. She said, I think he was an angel. And that just kind of, it's like, have you ever thought of an angel riding a motorcycle? I mean, isn't that amazing? What do I want to share with you? By the way, her face still shines. That's Yasmin right there. She just graduated with her PhD. She's a professor at an Adventist university in Zambia. But I'm impressed to share one last thing with you. Just 2 minutes. Can I do it? She'd been there in her second year, no contact from home, an announcement over the PA system.
Yasmin Sultana, you have a telephone call in the administration building.
This is before everyone had phones. So you have to go to the building. There's a phone. So she goes, hello? Here's an Arabic greeting. Papa? Papa? It was her father. He said, I'm coming to that part of India on business. He thought she was wasting her life away. He wanted to come. No kind words. He came, inspected everything, was amazed at how well she was doing. And then he left. But some contact with the family in her third year.
Yasmin Sultana, you have a telephone call in the administration building.
Hello? It was Yasmin's mother. Yasmin, your father is sick. He wants to speak to you. Papa? Yasmin, will you pray for me? Papa, I pray in the name of Jesus. I know. And this young girl who taught me much about prayer, on one side of the continent in Pune, just outside of Pune, prays for her father in Kolkata, India. And her father was healed. In the name of Jesus. Now, I know it doesn't always happen. I know that. Sometimes God gives us grace to face death unafraid. I know that. But I'm telling you, when someone is seeking to know the truth about Jesus, God will tear down every barrier. I know you want to ask me, are her parents Christians now? I don't know. They're still Orthodox Muslims. But when Yasmin goes to visit, by the way, she's welcome in her father's home now. When she goes to visit, do you know that when they sit to eat, her father prays his Arabic prayer, and then he sits respectfully while his daughter prays out loud in Jesus' name. You see, he has learned what we all need to learn. that when we pray in Jesus' name, standing under His authority and surrendered to His will, miracles happen. And I just want to give that gift to you today. I don't know what miracle you need in your life. Our time is gone. But somehow I think that this message could change many lives. So we don't just pray a little prayer, but we stand boldly under the authority of Jesus, surrendered to His will. And when we do that, heaven answers. Yes, according to His will, not ours. We don't tell God what to do. But what a precious gift. Will you pray in Jesus' name? Pray with an appreciation for that blessing. This evening, I want to share with you a mission that God has for us, because deeper yet involves the Word. We talked about that last night. It involves a living connection with Jesus in prayer. But all the more, it also involves that going out to Beckley or going out to share Him, because you can't keep it to yourself. And Yasmin's not keeping it to herself, is she? She's an Adventist professor at one of our universities. You've got to come tonight, because I'm going to share with you, when you pray in Jesus' name, God is going to shake your world up. And we'll think more about laying up treasure in heaven than on the earth. That's what will happen. But I'm going to be bold this morning. Is that okay? Can I be bold in West Virginia? Because somebody needs a miracle here today. Someone needs a breakthrough today. And so I'm just going to give an invitation. Got some pastors here who pray with people. If you need someone to pray for you in Jesus' name, you need a breakthrough in your life, I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seat and come to the front. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to sing a simple chorus. You know the chorus, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior"? You know that? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And while we're singing, hear my humble cry. If someone needs a breakthrough, you get up out of your seat and you come forward. We're going to pray for you in Jesus' name. While on earth, oh, do not pass me by. Hear our cry, Lord God. Savior, Savior, hear my humble, hear my cry, while on others. While on others thou, oh, do not pass me by. Do not, just come now, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. All to Him I freely. I will ever love and trust Him. I will ever love. In His presence daily live. In His presence daily. I surrender all. Let it be your prayer. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my Father in heaven, hear our cry. We know You are more willing to hear than we are even willing to call out to You. You know hearts that are breaking here today. People who need healing. You know those who are bound by a habit that seems like it's chains of steel. You know people that are held back by fear, who want to just be all that you want them to be, but they feel so held back. Lord, we would have the courage today to come in the name of Jesus. We would have the courage today to stand under His authority, surrendered to His will. And Lord, I thank You that we do not have to tell You what to do. You already know. And so I pray that heavenly messengers would be sent. I pray that heavenly blessings by Your Spirit would come. I pray that miracles according to Your will would happen in us so that You can work powerfully through us, because we know our Savior is coming soon. And now is the time to be fully surrendered to Him. So take all we are, Lord, hear our cry today, and thank You for the blessing You will give. For we are praying in the name of Jesus. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.